What a wonderful promise. Wonderful promise. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll join me, Mark chapter 11, in honor of the reading of the Word of God, let's stand together. I'm just going to read a few verses this morning, beginning in verse number 20. And the disciples had seen Jesus do many wonderful things, miracles, we would call them. And when they saw him just previous to our text this morning, they saw him curse the fig tree. They come back to it on the next morning. And then the Lord tells them something I don't believe that they were expecting. Join me and follow along as I read in chapter 11 of the book of Mark, beginning in verse number 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. This is an important statement. It shows us the power of the Lord, the fact that he is God in the flesh, because most things die from the top down. They die from the leaves and the trunk, and then the roots die. Here the Bible says they died from the roots up, something only God could do. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus knew that. Jesus understood what was going to happen. And look at his response. Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. What happened before and what happens after that statement all hinges on your belief in that statement. You're exercising your faith in that statement. Normally I underline things in my Bible. This one I circled. I want this one to stand out because everything that follows after this all hinges on your faith in God. Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, hold on. Many folks have gotten discouraged over this statement. God says I can move mountains. God says I can move mountains, all of these things. All of this hinges on the fact of your faith in God. Look, he says, if you pray in faith, then you'll have whatsoever you desire. If you pray in faith to God, you're praying according to God's character. God's not a vending machine where we put in our 2 cents prayer and then we press the buttons and expect or demand from God. That's not how prayer works. Prayer is me aligning my will with God's and wanting his will done on earth. We are allowed absolutely to pray for everything. But God is not obligated to answer according to my whims, according to my desires. All of this is based on the statement that Jesus begins with, have faith in God. The standard here is your faith in Almighty God. The standard here is the character of the one in which our faith is resting in. Heavenly Father, be with these few moments together as we come before you, as we study your word together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Reminded me of a story I read about a lady who had read those two verses, and then she looked out the window and she saw off in the distance and the horizon, she saw a mountain. And so staring intently at that mountain for a moment, she boldly spoke the command, be removed and be cast into the sea. And then she stared some more. And when nothing happened, she finally sighed and said, well, I knew it wouldn't work anyway. I knew it wouldn't work anyway. Often that's how our faith is, how our faith is expressed at times. But we have to understand that, of course, this woman's prayer wouldn't work. When Jesus gives this lesson to us this morning, he is not giving you and I as believers a blank check with God's signature on it, and we can just fill it out however we want. Prayer, if we remember, prayer is going to Almighty God, entering into the presence of God. Prayer is asking God that His will be done in my life. Prayer is yes, it's making requests for others. It's making requests for our needs, our hurts, our heartaches, our sorrows, all of those different things. But prayer and the response to prayer is based on the character of Almighty God, who is loving, who is just, and who always does according to His will. The kind of faith that Jesus is talking about, this biblical kind of faith, is characterized by what He talks about in John chapter 15 of an abiding relationship with God, understanding His revealed will through Scripture, understanding what His Word says. It's a commitment to being completely yielded to Him without the Word that's found in our text, without doubt. Faith has allowed God's people throughout Scripture to see wonderful demonstrations of God's power and that are unbelievable, unimaginable even to you and I, and to receive answers to prayer for things that appeared impossible. In Joshua chapter 10, He commanded the sun to the Lord commanded the sun to stand still so that Israel could defeat the Amorites. In Isaiah chapter 38. Hezekiah the king was sick, told he would die, and he prayed to the Lord, and God added 15 years. Wonder, amazing things. Abraham was told to sacrifice his son, responding in faith, and God showed Himself faithful in sparing his son and providing a sacrifice in the place of Isaac. In Joshua chapter 14, an 85-year-old Caleb, in faith, he asked God for a mountain, and God gave him that mountain. And on and on we could go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. David, a shepherd boy in the valley with Goliath. And examples today over and over again about the power of faith. But not just the power of faith, but the power of faith in God. As a parent, I get to determine the amount of faith that my children have in me. Because when I tell them that I'm going to do something, and I do that, they can trust that when Dad says something, he's going to do it. When they ask me for something, and I say yes, and we'll do it later, or whatever it is, and as I keep my word, their faith, their confidence in me grows. But I want you to know that I am imperfect. And there have been times that I forget things. There have been times where they've asked me for something. I said, yes, of course, we'll go do that. And a day later, Dad, I thought we were going to go, and I forgot. Imperfect. I'm imperfect. I want to remind us that God always keeps His word. There's not a promise that God has made that He's forgotten or that He can't fulfill. There's not a situation or circumstances in your life and in my life that He can't handle. But oftentimes, I think we face these things like this lady in the story I read just a moment ago, where we look out the window and command the mountain be removed, and I didn't think it was going to work anyways. That's not faith. That's not faith. It's impossible to overemphasize the necessity of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. In Hebrews chapter 11, and verse number 1, it defines what faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It means the word substance means the assurance or the confidence in those things that perhaps God hasn't revealed to us yet. Trusting that God is faithful and God is who He says He is. And faith according to Scripture is a human response to divine revelation, a human response to our trust in God's Word, trusting in the God who has revealed Himself in Scripture. It's simply taking God at His word. When we first came to Christ, when you were saved, when I was saved, we believed God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We had faith that He would forgive our sins. We had faith that God would give us eternal life, just as He said He would. We have faith today. I believe He's coming again. I believe, as Scripture says, one day we'll have glorified bodies. I believe one day we'll live with Him in heaven forever. What a day that will be. We just sang the song. And as a Christian, we have, as a child of God, we have faith that gives us confidence and assurance of those things that we haven't seen, that God will keep His word. We're sure of the, we're confident. Faith is essential. Years ago, the captain of a large ship set sail with his family and many other passengers from Liverpool, England, and his destination was New York City. And one night, while everyone was asleep, a great storm arose, and the wind was blowing, and waves were crashing into the ship and almost causing it to turn over, to capsize. Everything movable that could move was sent tumbling and crashing around the cabins and the deck, and the passengers became aware that they were in immediate, imminent peril. Everyone was alarmed. Many sprang from their cabins and began to get dressed, preparing to turn to the lifeboats. The captain's daughter, however, just 8 years old, was awakened, obviously, with the storm and the hustle and bustle. And "What's the matter?" she asked. When they told her about the storm, she asked simply, "Is Father on deck? Is Daddy at the helm?" Assured that he was, she went right back to sleep without fear. In spite of the winds, in spite of the waves, the story says she was soon fast asleep. Why? Because she trusted the master of the ship. She trusted her heavenly Father. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha and his attendants were surrounded by armies of the king of Assyria. And when his steward saw the armies, he panicked and said, "What shall we do?" And Elisha, knowing the power of God, understanding the presence of God, prayed that the Lord would open his servant's eyes to the realities of those things that were there that he could not see. And God opened his eyes and he saw the mountains full of chariots and soldiers, indicating that God had sent his angelic host to protect them. When the disciples asked Jesus in this text, in our text before us this morning, when the disciples are amazed at this withered fig tree from the roots up, Jesus simply says, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God." He tells us that that's the source, that's the anchor of our faith. We're to have faith in God. We know that God is able to do whatever He pleases, and yet we doubt Him at times. Adrian Rogers says this, I've heard him say this several times. He said, "Faith is not knowing God can." He said, "Faith is believing God will." Jesus said, "Have faith in God." The emphasis of the command that Jesus is giving is that His people, you and I, should have a deep, settled, consistent, ongoing confidence in who God is and what God has said, and that God can do exactly what He said He will do. It speaks of a relationship, a fellowship, of constant communion with Him, of dependence upon His word, of obedience to Him. When Jesus says, "Have faith in God," He's encouraging us that we can be confident in His character. We can be confident in who He is. In who He is. As a child of God, I'm thankful that He's my Father. That He's my Father. I love my children dearly, but I'm not a perfect father. I wish I was, but I'm not. But we have a Heavenly Father who is perfect. And He loves us and He cares about us. And just as I want my boys to bring me their hurts and their desires and their longings and speak with me about their dreams, and I want to do my best to encourage them in them, to encourage them to do right, to encourage them to follow God. We have a Heavenly Father who desires the same thing from us. He desires that we be in His presence, whether we're hurting or whether we're happy, whether we're sad or whether we're celebrating, whatever it might be, God desires that we're in His presence. He desires that we bring our requests known to Him. Why? Because the Bible says He's our Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Father. I'm thankful that we're not dealing with an aloof or uncaring or disconnected deity who doesn't care for His people. Just read Scripture, folks. Read Scripture, ladies and gentlemen. Our God loves us. Our God wants us to come to Him in faith. Our God wants to have an ongoing relationship with us. And Jesus explains, he reminds his disciples that this miracle that and what he's going to explain to them is a result of a prayer made in faith. And we have some very precious promises when it comes to the matter of faith and faithfully approaching God in prayer. The scripture tells us over and over again, God invites us to pray. God promises to hear us when we pray. He promises, 1 John reminds us, he promises to answer. He promises to answer according to his will. When it comes to the word of God, when it comes to the promises of God, we have his guarantee that he'll keep every one of them. Prayer and faith is not a blank check. When God says something in his word, we can have absolute faith that he'll do what we ask. We do what we ask. And God honors faith. God honors genuine biblical faith. And that faith is always based on the word of God, the promises of God. 1 John 5 reminds us, and we have this and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Anything according to his will, he heareth us. Probably one of the best examples I've heard of this growing up in preaching and studying and is an example I've used before. Perhaps you've heard before. Perhaps you've heard me use it before. I think it was A.W. Tozer, I believe. I could be wrong. He talked about how that prayer, he said, prayer is like sitting in a rowboat far from the shore and throwing out an anchor to the shore. He said, prayer is not me throwing out that anchor and securing it in the shore and pulling the shore to me. He said, what prayer is throwing out that anchor, throwing out that lifeline, and pulling myself towards the shore. Pulling myself closer to God's will is what he was talking about. The fact that prayer is not demanding things from God. It's not twisting his arm, so to speak, to get him to do what we want. Prayer is conforming my will to God's will, knowing that he works all things for my good and for his glory. Many have become bitter against God. They pray for things, and when God doesn't answer the way they want or when they want, they get bitter. They become angry at God. I remind us, we can pray about anything that we want, and we can have faith in God's absolute ability to do anything that he desires to do. But we must understand that he always works according to his will. He always works according to his will. One man said, when I expect him to do as I wish, or excuse me, when I expect God to do as, he said, when I expect God to do as he's promised, that's faith, he said. He said, when I expect him to do as I wish, he said, that is presumption. And God is not expected to respond. So what is faith in God? Faith is the deep, settled assurance that God will do exactly what he has promised to do. And I'm thankful for verses like Philippians 4. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm thankful for those verses, but that's not a blank check. It's not a blank check. Then we see this morning, we see Jesus here is telling us about the exercise of faith. Jesus and his disciples, this is the last week of Jesus' life here on earth before the cross, and they're just outside, they're headed back to Jerusalem. From where they were standing at this point, Jesus and the disciples would have been able to see the Mount of Olives, which was 2,700 feet above sea level, and the Dead Sea. And so when Jesus talks to them about a mountain and the sea, it was a very vivid illustration. And he said, if the disciples simply have faith in God, believing without doubt in God and his character, he said they could say to this mountain, be removed. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, Jesus said. I can only imagine their faith in that statement. What Jesus was doing here is he was using a Jewish proverb to teach them a spiritual truth. You see, the phrase removing mountains in Jewish culture was a common phrase. They commonly spoke of moving a mountain to to the act of removing something that was seemingly impossible, an overwhelming circumstance, an insurmountable situation, removing a great difficulty. Jesus was telling them, using that illustration, the physical illustration, to teach them a spiritual truth. You see, there are so many situations in life that appear hopeless. Perhaps you feel like you're standing before a mountain, and you're expected to move it. I can remember going to Colorado and around, I forget what it's called. There's a pass there in southern Colorado. It has to do with a wolf. I forget what it's called, but it's a high elevation. I can remember standing at the foot of that mountain, or I've been through around Pikes Peak, and I remember driving around it in high school and just looking up, and it just seemed to go up and up and up forever. And sometimes Jesus is reminding us, using this familiar statement to these men, sometimes our difficulties seem like that. Sometimes our situations seem like that. Sometimes where we are seem just like that, impossible, hopeless. All is lost. We feel like that there are people that we've witnessed to over and over again, and that they're never going to be saved. There's a need so great, it appears it'll never be met. And problems so big, it appears that it's impossible to overcome. Jesus is reminding us that having faith in God, having faith in His Word, allows us to believe God in the midst of an impossible situation. Having faith in God allows us to believe God in an impossible situation. We can believe God for the salvation of that lost soul because of what He said in His Word. He's promised, He's offered salvation full and free to those who will receive it. And we can trust God as we continue to be faithful and witness that He'll fulfill His Word as the gospel goes forth, that we'll see souls saved. We can have faith that God will meet the need that seems impossible. We can have faith when He promises that He'll never leave us or forsake us. We can have faith for the prodigal that's wandering as we're faithful in praying and asking God for His grace and for His mercy. The list could go on and on. Warren Wiersbe said, we shouldn't interpret Mark chapter 11, verse 24, to mean if you pray hard enough and really believe, God is obligated to answer your prayer, no matter what you ask. He said that kind of faith is not faith in God. Rather, it is nothing but faith in feelings. It's faith in the prayer, not in the God, not in the source of the faith. Faith in God and in the promises of His Word allows us to believe God in impossible situations. It doesn't just allow us to believe God in the impossible. It allows us to believe God for the impossible. Jesus said if we believe, God can do those things that we can't even imagine. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, the word substance means foundation. Foundation. It's reminding us that God can do those things that even we can't understand or comprehend. Maybe it wasn't even what we expected or what we asked for, but according to God's will, it's what we needed. It reminds us what faith does. It allows us to believe God in the impossible. It allows us to ask God and see Him do the impossible in our lives. But then look with me this morning here. He also reminds us that there are some things that hinder faith, that hinder our prayers, some obstacles to our faith. Look at verse number 23. The first thing that he reminds us that hinders our prayer, that stifles our faith, he said, is unbelief. He said, you can say to this mountain, if you have faith in God, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Doubt is deadly to effective prayer. Doubt means to be divided in one's thinking, to hesitate, to draw back. And when we pray from a heart of doubt, we're drawing back from the Word of God. We don't believe that God can really do what He says. We don't believe that God can really get me through this impossible situation. We don't believe that God can really move this mountain. Doubt says God may have promised it, but I don't believe it. Unbelief hinders our faith. The second thing, selfishness hinders our faith. The Bible is very clear that answer to prayer come when we pray according to the will of God. 1 John 5:14 reminds us of that. Those desires that he's talking about in verse number 24 all relate back to the character of the one in whom our faith is in. It's not that God is obligated to answer or do any little thing. Prayer must always be based on his character. It's a prayer for his purpose to be fulfilled, his glory to be had, not our own selfish reason. It's to petition God on the basis of Christ's righteousness. It's to pray for his glory. I'm thankful, though, that God answers prayer. I'm thankful that God answers prayer. And we've seen it in this place. On Wednesday night, we often go over the answers to prayer that God gives us. But we have to remember that we have no right to demand from God. We have no right to demand that God answer our prayers. We have a gracious God who delights to answer our prayers. Selfishness can hinder our faith. Unbelief. And then look here in verse number 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Here, Jesus is pointing us to the truth we find in Ephesians chapter 4, where Jesus is the ultimate example of forgiveness. And we're expected to forgive like Jesus did. He's talking about a lack of forgiveness, holding on to bitterness, hindering our prayers, hindering our walk with God. He's reminding us that even in this area of forgiveness, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. One commentator said, sometimes a hard and unforgiving heart is bigger than any mountain. He said, the forgiven heart will forgive others. If we have an unforgiving heart, it calls into question, he said, if we have ever received or if we truly appreciate the forgiveness that God offers us. Jesus here is reminding his disciples. He's reminding you and I of the importance of forgiveness. There's a connection between faith and forgiveness in the matter of prayer. Biblical faith is powerful. A songwriter from years ago wrote similar words. He said, Biblical faith is powerful. Mountains yield to its power. Sin and Satan and sorrow must all bow before its authority. Biblical faith is powerful. It's God's will today that we live by faith. Not the blind leap of the foolish, not the blank check of the misinformed, but a deep, settled assurance that what God has said, he will do, and that he is more than able. He is more than willing to do it. I'm thankful for a faithful God, for a loving God who loves us and who delights in us. This morning I would ask, perhaps our faith needs work. Perhaps the Lord needs to help strengthen our faith. He needs to strengthen our faith and our walk with him. How is your faith this morning? Are we walking in faith, believing God for the unbelievable, looking to him to move some mountain, seeking his will in your current situation? Maybe we've been demanding from the Lord. We need to come and humble ourselves to his will in that situation and trust him to do what is right, because that is exactly what he will do. Maybe you have a mountain this morning that needs to be moved. Maybe you need to be saved this morning. You've never received the gift of salvation, the unmerited forgiveness of God, the unmerited grace and mercy of God. Jesus reminds us this morning, all that we do, that we must have faith in God. In an hour in which we live, in the hour in which we live today, it's important, it's vital that we have a deep, settled sense of faith and security in our Lord. I wonder this morning if there's some, maybe our faith is shaken a little bit. Maybe our mountain seems insurmountable, unmovable this morning. We'll take just a moment and just a second here and have a time of invitation where we examine our hearts before the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, allowing the Spirit of God to work and to speak to our hearts? Perhaps in this very subject of faith, God's spoken to hearts today. I know he spoke to my heart in this. Often it's so easy to become selfish, to become greedy, when God delights to answer our requests according to his will. According to his will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that you've revealed to us this morning. And as we take just a moment here to to examine our hearts before you. May you make these truths real to us and reminding us of how you desire to be close to us. You desire that we walk with you, abide in you. May you strengthen our faith in this moment, perhaps, Lord. And as we take just a moment, may your will and your direction be very clear in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.